Father, we thank you for this evening that we could come together to pray for the matters that are concerning for the assembly and assembly matters, and also to meditate upon your word a little bit. So we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto you, and not only at this time, but in the future, as we live for your glory in Christ's name. So what a fitting song, even though I did not pick it. It is fitting not only for today, but probably for many studies, and probably all the time for us to consider. Revival, it just means to revitalize. And it does not mean, as we may understood or may have misunderstood, that it has to have a massive change that is explosive, but a change that is from within for each one of us. So wonderful to have that song sung. And I just want to take this evening to at least briefly say one more time that we are looking at some of the studies of sin that we neglect to consider as serious. This is not a study of the sin as a whole and the sinner who should be brought to salvation, but this is looking at certain aspects of sins that we don't take so seriously. That is common within us. So the sin itself has disappeared from society as what we used to cringe at has become very common among us. Not when I say among us, in society. And we also adapted accordingly our own terminologies calling sin. You know, people don't commit adultery anymore, they have an affair. People don't steal, they commit fraud. People don't kill, they had an emotional outburst. We don't have anger and rage, which is really prohibited in scripture, but we had an emotional imbalance. So we have adapted to the languages that is used by the society, and society is adapting. When I say we use the term, we consider it is society as a whole and also believers. So we don't see pride and envy as a serious matter among our own believers, among our own selves. Even the absence of fruit of the Spirit is not taken too seriously. This is considered normal. Seems like at times concerned about sins of the society as a whole, the grave sins, but maybe at times forgetting honor and glory that depends in our behavior, our character, our testimony as we live. Should a believer be concerned about such matters, or should we just go on? Certainly we have the assurance, and there is not a laughing matter, it is not a simple matter. It is an assurance we have that those who have put faith in our Lord Jesus are saved. But the entire scripture is written. We did not get saved from our own efforts, but the scripture is written for our proper alignment with God's word. That is serious. 66 books are written for that. So our alignment with God's words, living holy and righteous, is what we are called for. And I am extremely guilty of that. Let me confess that the second time from here. But I suspect we have not taken maybe at times so seriously this matter that God's name may be getting a little dishonored. Subtle sins are normal. Serious. Believers' need for awareness about the subtle sins are what we are trying to do in the next several weeks. As a couple of weeks pass from today, we'll get into the subjects that is from that book. We may expand it to maybe a little more, but identified sins that can be that we seem to ignore, and simply to bring awareness. So before we go further, maybe we should consider, what is sin? How does God look at sin? We all know the verses. It is not obeying God's law. It is lawlessness. It is doing wrong. It is rebellion against God. It is doing our will. I just want to bring maybe a couple of slides up and to talk about that at this time. Let me see if I can do that. So, as we consider what is sin, I thought it may be a good idea to have some foundational understanding of what is sin, that we all know sins, but what is sin when God looks at it? Sin is lawlessness. Definition is from 1 John. Sin is lawlessness. So, something that we need to consider. Then what else is sin? Is doing what is wrong. Well, that is simple definition. Did I lose it? No. Sin is wrongdoing. All wrongdoing is sin. 1 John 5:17. Do we look at sin that way? Sin is missing the mark of or failure of to achieve God's standard. So that is a common definition. We know that. Failing to achieve God's standard. God has given a certain standard and we fail to achieve that. So sin is failing to reach the mark God has given to us. So will we ever get to that perfection? No. But are we called to live in that with that standard in mind? Absolutely. See, our sins, the other parts of the why is this happening? Our sins are originated in our own hearts. There is no question about it because we are born that way. And we have that excuse. Yes, indeed. We are born that way. But we always, seem to forget that I am regenerated. I am born that way. Yes, sin is in my flesh or in my body or in my nature, whichever the way we want to define it. But when I am lured and enticed to do my own desire, I am yielding to my flesh. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. So when I say, I want to do my will and hold off God, I don't want to really consider what you have said, I am overruling God. It's that grave. Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? They said, oh, Satan is the soul. And we are all victims or we are all the recipients of that. But there is a resolution for that. But scripture is written for us to consider to live holy and righteous people. So sin is rebellion against God. Telling him, I don't care what you see or think for me or about my life or your rule. I just want to do my will. Of course, certainly, absolutely, we don't do as believers. There may be exceptions in 1 in a million where grave sins are committed as we rate them. But we are habitually practicing sin. So here is another incident. This is from Israelites' disobedience of their murmuring and absolute disobedience and time permits, I'll get into the chapter 11 of and 13, 14 summary of Numbers. But here is an interesting, you have been rebellious against God. That's what Moses tells. You have been rebellious against God, not wanting to follow his direction. So sin is all, for all sin is disobedience, all disobedience is sin. So we cannot have an excuse on this is okay. And that's what actually that the summary of the book. We are not teaching that book in an absolute sense, but we are following some guidelines. But the subtle sins or the acceptable sins, that book we are following by Jerry Bridges, actually is saying all disobedience is sin. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of all. Do I ever consider this to be a serious matter? This is James, New Testament writing, where we may say we don't follow the law and this is written about the law. Absolutely not. All the moral law of God is to be followed by us anyway. Only the ritualistic part of the law that was given is taken out. So here is, well, the point here in this verse, James 2:10, is when we fail in anything, we have actually failed with God. Of course, that's taken care of, but we continue to do so without giving respect to God. That is the whole point. We continue to do so. I continue to do so without giving God the due respect, because I am saying in your face, I don't mind doing this. I am purposely, deliberately doing this against your will. I don't think I ever considered my subtle sins that way. God has not given us the authority to differentiate between one sin and the other. All sins are sins. One disobedience, as we may consider, minor, caused the Son of God to come into this world to give his life. That is the gravity of the problem. All sin is breaking the law of the Lord. See, like I said already, bigger and small sins doesn't exist. They exist before God to, at times, discipline us in our Christian life. But as soon as a sin is committed by anyone, which everyone will or has, they are guilty and fallen. So everyone, the seed of Adam, is fallen. So there is no big or small sin there anymore. It is just they are fallen people. So where does this matter? It matters when we differentiate them into little or bigger sins. So that is what I wanted to, I'm struggling to maybe make that point or maybe overstating it, but that is the point that we need to consider when we consider the subtle sins in the coming weeks. God does not differentiate between sins. All sins are sins before him. God does not give us the freedom to take that liberty. So the deal is to obey the word of the Lord. So God has given the law as a whole. The laws are not given separately. God has given the law as a whole, meaning all God's laws are to be obeyed. I will maybe cite just two examples from the scripture here. Cursed be every man who does not conform to the words of this law. Not laws. The law as a whole is stated as the law. Or the individual laws are given, as we may put it, are given as God considers all his law. Or the law of the Lord is perfect. Is the psalmist referring to one law? Or is he referring to all the laws that were given? So consider that the laws, when we talk about, we are not considering the Ten Commandments and the Jewish way of living and all that. We are considering the law of the Lord is the scripture. So the law of the Lord is perfect. So it is a single whole. It is one. So we cannot differentiate and say murder is serious. Yes, it is. It is not giving an excuse to murder, but it's equally offensive to God as any other sin. So um, This evening, I just want to probably go through a little bit of discourse in the next 2 or 3 minutes to say that we need to consider this as we go through the study a little more seriously if we can. I know that we go through meditations in our messages in our chapel everywhere, but I would hope that we would revive our hearts by giving heed to what may be coming up in the next several weeks as can we consider the laws that are given, the law that is given, and the things that we may have thought to be not so serious to be serious. There is a verse in Matthew where it says, you have heard it said, you shall not murder, but whoever murders will be liable to judgment. I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is committing a sin, or whoever is insulting his brother, this is Matthew 5:22. If he is insulting his brother, he is committing a sin, or whoever is saying to his brother, a fool. Actually, if we were to expound on that, there is more weird meaning than it is apparent here, but we don't have the time to go through that. But even listening to that in the peripheral, superficial way, angry with his brother, it's considered major sin. Sin. Who is saying to his brother, who is saying an insult to his brother, is that serious? Or considering another brother not so wise, is that serious? Yes, it is serious before the Lord. So just to say a few more words, all sin is sin. We don't have the freedom to commit any of them. We need to take all sins without distinction or ranking or variations. Even our religious pride that we know what the Lord himself sometimes and the scripture can be sometimes a serious sin. Our anxiety about our future can be a serious sin. Our unkind word to another or even thought in our hearts are sin. They are sins. Impatience is sin. So do we live without them? Absolutely not. Let us be frank and open and open about that. But how do we achieve what the word of God is telling us? Maybe that is something we can consider. However, we are, you know, the writer calls it, practicing sinners. We are habitual practicers of sins. First step maybe we need to do is to evaluate where do we stand. What are the sins that I think I am committing without even going to any messages? You know, am I committing a sin that is offensive to God? We have always the option to ignore them, but maybe it is helpful that we base it on the word of God than anything else, anybody's words, any book. So there is relief, there is hope. So Christ has redeemed us not from the only from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. Christ has redeemed us not only from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. So that is what we have within us now. We have the power to overcome sin. Remember the verse, I think it is coming up in later on, Genesis 4:7. Sin is always out there, wanting to devour. So secondly, we need to admit whatever sins we think we identify and we need to deal with. We need to deal with them without defense, our self-defense, because conditions, this, that should go away. We need to deal with our personal subtle sins without defense from our side, based it on the scripture. Simply admit, Lord, I have this problem. I need help. That's what the Lord is looking for from us. Let me stress again. Let us be, make it clear. All sins are dealt with on the cross of Calvary. That's not what we are dealing with here. We are dealing with how we are called to live. If the saints that were in Corinth were not having personal sins, which they were, there was no need to write that epistle. But what is Paul telling them to live holy? What is Peter telling in his epistle to live holy? What is Paul writing in all his other epistles to live holy? So all our iniquities are laid on him. There is no question. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about this evening and in the coming weeks or Wednesdays, we're dealing with subtle sins that we don't admit that we have. So that is something we can probably, what can we do about this? Where do we need to go? There are several verses that are interesting in the scripture that Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, the earthly, what is earthly in you? Earthly means flesh, or what is belonging to the carnal man, natural man, whichever the way we may want to define it. Put to death. How do we do that? Is that the only verse? No. We have to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. So the flesh there is the what is earthly, the one little above, basically meaning our basic nature that we struggle with. Our inner man is generated. Our humanness, our natural man, as it is called, is not liberated. So we struggle with this. That's a constant fight we have and the problem we have. So we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved. So we have that assurance, but we should no longer be enslaved. We have the power now to overcome the sin. So there is a verse that leads, actually it goes all the way to 18. I have only a portion here. We are debtors not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. Here is it again, verse 13. Put to death the deeds of the body. This is the call to mortify. And I think Romans 8:13 is translated in the older translation. Mortify the deeds of the body. Kill, to kill, to crucify. We read that earlier verse. We need to kill the instinct in us every day, every hour. It is like weeds in our grass. If we let the grass grow, even though we have brand new soil, just let it grow, there will be weeds coming up all over. It will not last for too long. We need to cleanse or to kill whatever that weed is coming in us with the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that analogy works. So this is the first reference of sin in the scripture, believe it or not. Even though Adam sinned and Cain sinned, this is the first reference. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So we did not have that power before our being born again or being regenerated, given the power of the Holy Spirit. But now we have that power. So I will conclude with this verse. We looked at Galatians 5, 16, 17 last time. But there is an interesting continuation of it. We know what that verses deal with, the fruit of the Spirit and the carnal nature. So I say, walk by the Spirit. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep from doing the things you want to do. So how do we do this? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, it's a call in between there. So 25, if we live by the Spirit, and it says, if you keep in step with the Spirit. So verse 16 to 24, I've actually, it lets us in on how do we achieve this? Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we need to be walking or living. Walk is a different word for live. By the Spirit, by the help of the Spirit. We need to be living by or led by the Spirit. All our thoughts and actions must be led by the Holy Spirit, consulted. Live by the Spirit with the power of the Holy Spirit and keeping in step. Whenever I want to do something, I need to ask, is this deviating from the step the Holy Spirit that is in me? Is it deviating from the counsel that is it in step with the Spirit? Maybe these things could help us to have at least some control and power over the subtle sins that may be in us, sometimes even overtake us. And may the Spirit that is in us, who is in us, help us in the coming days to overcome our subtle sins, any sin that is in us, to live a holier life that is pleasing to the Lord.